Scripture passage today is from Genesis 1 at the very beginning, and then at the end of Genesis 1 and the first part of Genesis 2, and then back over into Ephesians chapter 1, the passage that Darlene read earlier. We're looking at God's glory in His work, all of His work, and in His rest. And this is a kind of a two-part message, although today's stands on its own, as will next week. But next week, we look at God's glory in our work and rest. And that's Labor Day weekend. So how is God glorified in how we work and in our resting? As we look at this, the practical aspect is really more just delighting again in the majesty of God, all of who He is, a sovereign God who is there for us. So let's come before God again in prayer. Lord, we are grateful that You have given to us Your Word, the Scriptures, that we might have an account of who You are and what You call us to be and to do, and how You have worked in the lives of other people. So give us understanding, transform our hearts. Help us this day just to take the familiar passages here, the concepts, and to let them come alive again, just for us to delight in who You are. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, let me read these verses from Genesis. And we begin with just the very beginning of Scripture, where it all began for us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then we come over to the end of chapter 1. What takes place after that is the day by day, days 1 through 6 of God creating and then saying, it is good. And so after the sixth day, when God creates us, so God created man in His own image, in the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. So we come to that height of creation, and then in verse 31 it says, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. So we want to look at the glory of God in His work, so creation and all that that means, and in His resting. God rested. What does that mean? And how is God glorified in that? Well, first of all, what does it mean to say that God is glorified or that God is glorious? And the glory of God is the radiance of all of who God is. It's the shining forth of all of His inner characteristics, His holiness, His righteousness, His justice, His mercy, and His grace. Everything about God, it's going on display. It's His very nature shining forth. So that's the glory of God. And so we want to see, how is God glorified in creation? So in the beginning, so the beginning is not God's beginning, because God has no beginning and no end. It's the beginning of all creation. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So everything that we see, and even the things we can't see, the spiritual realms, part of the heavens, and the things we can't see, the things that are the microscopic stuff, getting down to where even our modern science can't yet get down to and see. God created all of that. And in that, God is demonstrating his unlimited power. Now, Scripture describes this as God speaking. He speaks, and it comes into existence. We can't do that. No one who has ever lived on this earth except the Son of God can do this. We just simply can't. We can think about things, we can speak, but then we have to actually put into action. We've got to do things. And even at that, we're just using what God already created. And what we're doing is not something that is incredible power. It's still very, very limited. God displays his power in all of creation. Now, there is something very applicable for us. In other words, the God that can create the heavens and the earth, his power is available for us. When God says that I will be their God and they will be my people, that promise is an incredible promise. God is saying, all of my godness is available for you, at your disposal. So when we come with our prayers and seeking God's guidance, because sometimes what we pray for, God says, that's not the best for you. You might not understand right now, but there's something better. But we know that behind God and his promise is his infinite power. And that power is demonstrated in all of creation. There's something else here when God created that he exhibits his incredible beauty. So that inward beauty that God has is displayed in the things that we see, the varied creation around us. And not just what we see here on earth, but throughout the whole universe. So I think that most people are like me in that we look out at creation and we all have different parts of it that we really love. That when we see it, we can go, God made this and it's beautiful. For some, it might be gardening and flowers and looking at the beauty of flowers. And there are so many different flowers that, you know, no one can name all of them. And they're various colors and the way that they bloom and their shapes, sizes. I mean, it's incredible. Or it might be the majesty of mountains and looking up and just seeing that and just going, gosh, God created Mount Rainier and the entire range and everything that I see. I mean, these are majestic, incredible things, and God just spoke and they just came into being. It's incredible. Or it might be a mighty river or the vast expanse of the ocean as you just look out over it. Or as you look up into the heavens and those little tiny dots of light, you go, those are stars. And they've got planets revolving around them. And some of those little dots are other galaxies that have billions of stars in them with little planets and moons and asteroids and everything else just up there. And we just look and we go, wow. And then I think about this incredible beauty that we get to see just glimpses of. And I think about the majesty of God who beholds all of it constantly. We get to watch a sunrise every morning and a sunset. God sees continuous sunrises and sunsets, not just here on earth, but across the universe. On billions and billions of planets with billions and billions of stars. And he sees that beauty. And God sees the vast expanse of all of his beauty at the level where we can see and then down to that microscopic and submicroscopic level. And God understands how everything is held together. Stuff our science hasn't yet discovered and maybe never will. And we just get this view of a God that is so incredible And we delight in that. And so we glory in God's creation. We declare that God is glorious, that God is beautiful. And it arises out of God's sufficiency, His fullness. And what is behind this? What I'm trying to say here is that there are some people that will express God created everything because He needed someone to love. And when we use an expression like that, we throw in the word needed, we're saying that God is incomplete without. God is incomplete without creating people so that He could love them. And Scripture makes it very clear that God has no needs, that God did not need to create us, but out of His fullness. And that fullness includes this mysterious God existing as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And in that union, one God, there is a relationship, and the Father and the Son and the Spirit, the infinite love that is there in the Godhead, didn't need us to love. Jesus, when He was baptized and when He was transfigured, the voice from heaven, the Father, saying, "This is my Son whom I love." So the Father loves the Son. The Son says that He came to show forth the love of the Father, to glorify the Father by doing the Father's will. So there's this perfect love and delight that is there in the Godhead. But out of that fullness, God created us. God went public with His glory, which includes His love. And that's the beauty of creation, is that it is not just an extension of the being of God. It is separate and therefore not necessary for God, but a choice out of God's fullness. And God chooses to love. That's powerful. God chooses to love us and to share His great love that He has, a full love. So God created, just simply for us to meditate on that. Think about our Creator God. God created, and the power and the beauty that is behind that and the sufficiency of God. And then for God to just look out at everything and say it is very good. In other words, God doesn't make junk. God made everything the way He wanted it. Now, how God wanted it was to create people out of His fullness that He could love, that would love Him in return. And in order to do that, He had to create us with free will so that we would choose to love God, and we wouldn't just be merely puppets that would repeat words that God plants in our brain. And so God creates a world with people that have free will that will take the choices that we have and we mess them up. It's all part of God's design, knowing that that would happen. And so there was something else going on behind the scenes. And we see that now as we come to the passage in Ephesians that Darlene read. And in verse 4, chapter 1, it says, "Even as He chose us," even as He, the Father, chose us in Him, in Christ, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us." So before the foundation of the world was ever laid, before God created, before He spoke forth with His mighty voice and the world came into existence, God had predestined us. He chose us to come into his love. And that's why creation is very good. It's not outside of God's control. Things are not spinning out of control, and where God is wringing his hands in heaven saying, I hope it's all going to turn out. They just make the right choices. I'll just give him a nudge here and a nudge there. No. Everything was laid out according to his plan. And God, part of his plan, is able to weave in our free will with God also working within us so that he would choose us and predestined us in his love to come to him. A sovereign God. It's mysterious for us, but God is able to do that. And so it is very good. We are chosen by God, not as an afterthought. Jesus didn't come as plan B. Uh-oh, they messed up. Let's try this. Nope, that didn't work. Let's try this. Before the foundation of the world, we were chosen in Christ and all of what he was going to do. It was very good. And here's the way that God chose to do this. It's the only way possible for God to be a God of justice and righteousness and still deal with our sin. Sin had to be dealt with. And so the infinite God takes on human flesh and dies in our place, taking our sin, our punishment. And because he is the infinite God, the Son, it can take our place. It isn't just another man dying. And because he is infinite, and his death was then so great a loss, it pays the price. So that we are redeemed how? And here's what Paul says, verse 7 in Ephesians 1. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. I love that. Lavished upon us. That just, he gave it to us. Lavished. Redeeming us through the blood. It brings us back to the table, doesn't it? With Jesus at the end of the supper, when he takes the cup and says, this is the new covenant in my blood. You no longer need the sacrificial system that was there, that all it did really was to point forward to Jesus, what he was going to do. This is the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. He doesn't have to go up on the cross again and again and again for every new person who is born, once and for all. This is the new covenant in my blood. And we have redemption through his blood. It was very good. But it gets better. Gets better. The same Spirit in Genesis 1 that tells us the Spirit was kind of hovering over the waters that were there, over creation. The Spirit is at work with us. So we come again back into Ephesians, verse 13 and 14. In him, in Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. In other words, there's more to come, isn't there? To the praise of his glory. Paul says that again and again in this first chapter of Ephesians. To the praise of his glory. To his glory. To his glory. Why? Paul is going back to creation and tying redemption into that, and that it is very good is what God was all about from the very, very beginning. So when God created, God looks back and says, it is very good, and part of that is I created people out of my fullness to share my love, but they're going to blow it, and I have provided their redemption through the blood of my Son, who so freely gives his life for us. And then we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So walk away today with woven into creation is all of redemption. And God working within us, transforming us through his Holy Spirit, and being sealed for us to have the assurance, not because God needs us, but because out of his fullness, God has given grace to us. So we have assurance. That is a great blessing. Now we come to this last part. At the end of creation, it gives us this image of God. It says that on the seventh day, God finished his work and that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. And he blessed it and he made it holy. God rested. Why? Now, it could be easy for some people to look at this and say, well, of course he had to rest. Even though he's God, look what he did. He created everything. He had to be tired, and he's had to rest, to sit back and rejuvenate a bit. It's not what it's talking about. And as we understand that as we read through Scripture and as we get a glimpse of all of who God is. But even if we just go back to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Only an infinitely powerful God could do that. And God does not get weary, does not get tired. And so it's not that type of a rest. So what is this rest that is here? We'll just touch on a little bit of it. First of all, it's completing his plan, all of his plan, for the fullness of time. So it's just showing forth. God has completed everything. No more needs to be added. God has established it all in creation. So verse 5 of Ephesians 1, that he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. So his will was accomplished. So we go on to verses 8 through 10, which expand on that. So in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Part of God's plan from the very beginning, when he created to redeem us and to bring all things together at the end, so that they're united in Christ, showing forth the glory of God through Jesus Christ. It's an incredible thing. So part of God resting is then to show this. He's completed his entire plan. It's there. And part of his plan in Habakkuk 2:14, it says that the earth, when everything comes to its completion, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In other words, perfectly. The waters cover the sea perfectly, and there will come a time where everybody realizes the glory of the Lord in everything. That's his plan. So God rested to show the plan is complete. It also shows that he has no needs at all. None whatsoever. God can sit back. He doesn't have to continue to create. Okay, that was day six. Now we've got to keep going. God doesn't have to wake up every day and say, well, now I've got to take care of all those people there and have to redo stuff. No, it's already done. And God is caring for us according to his plan. God is ever-present and always has been ever-present. So he has no needs. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 50. And it says, God is speaking in this, and it's, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? In other words, he's saying to the people of God at the time when they were doing the animal sacrifices, do you think that those things are supplying a need in me? Rethink it. It says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. In other words, be faithful to God and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. In other words, God's saying, I am so full and sufficient. What you're called to do, your faithfulness, is to call upon God in your day of trouble and he will deliver. And then we glorify God. So God resting, that expression in Genesis, is saying that God has no needs. And his sufficiency fills our needs. So God rested. And then God also displays his perfect peace, which he calls us to experience. His peace, his rest, his shalom in Hebrew, which is more than just a peace, an absence of hostilities. It is when everything is at rest with God. And we will not have that perfect shalom until everything is complete. We experience parts of it now, and we do because we have the testimony that God has rested, displaying this rest, this peace, this shalom that he calls us to come into. And we do this according to Genesis, acknowledging that God is holy. It's because he's holy. Holiness is his inner characteristics, his perfection. And we see it as glory. And so God is going to, he's calling us constantly into this perfect rest, and we will experience it in the age to come. But God also offers it now, doesn't he? In the midst of our turmoil, and we all have turmoil in our life, so we come to this all-sufficient God and we say, God, I'm calling upon you in the day of trouble, the day of need, out of your sufficiency, fill me. The glory of God is perceived in his work of creation and in his rest, his perfect peace. And his peace that he can look down at this world and its chaos and not be saying, oh no, but my plan is established and it will be fulfilled. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are just this incredible God that is for us. You've called us to come into your rest. Bring us into that rest each day that we might experience your peace, your grace, and glorify you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.